chapter 15. We want to look at the first seven verses this morning in your Bibles. I trust you brought a copy of the Word of God. If not, maybe you can find it on the phone there that maybe you have and be able to follow along with that. Luke chapter 15, verse number 1. Notice what the Word of God says. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. By the way, that was an accusation. Verse 3, And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Keep your place there, if you would, this morning, and let's pray together. Father, I do thank you for the power of your word, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit. May he work in our hearts and lives now, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, one of the richest relationships to have in life is a true friend. The late Lee Iacocca said this, My father always used to say that when you die, if you've got five real friends, then you've had a great life. And I think about that statement, and I think about my own personal life, and I'm thankful for the true friends that God has put into my life to enrich me, to encourage me along the way. But there is a friend, church, who outshines all the friends that we will ever make in life or that we'll lose in life. He is called and was called a friend of sinners. I'm speaking of Jesus this morning. Jesus simply was called the friend of sinners. In Matthew's gospel and also in Luke chapter 7, it was actually the enemies of Christ that gave the accusation that Jesus Christ was a friend of sinners. You'll notice here in our text in Luke chapter 15 and verse number 1 that Jesus Christ is sitting and eating with people that are publicans and sinners. Jesus had no problem doing that because Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so he would sit down with the common, ordinary people of his day. But obviously, we find in this chapter that there was a group of people called the Pharisees. The Pharisees were a religious, quote-unquote, group of people in that day. They would keep, so to speak, all of the rules of religion. And yet, the Lord Jesus would accuse them of something later on where he would say to them that you make clean the outside, but on the inside you're full of sin. He could zero in right on the heart of the matter. But yet in this context, Jesus is simply sitting at the table, if you would, and drawing near with publicans and sinners and the Pharisees. Who is this man that would sit with these people and eat with them? Hey, I'm thankful, aren't you, this morning that Jesus did that. That he just didn't come into this world to save the up and up. He would reach whosoever will. For the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we find here in this context that Jesus truly, even though it was meant to be a statement of accusation, really, I think it truly describes the Lord Jesus that he is a friend of sinners. I want you to think about that this morning because in verse number 3, Jesus Christ begins to share a parable. A parable in the Bible simply is a story, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In fact, all of chapter 15 basically is that kind of teaching. He talks about a lost sheep. He talks about a lost coin. Then he talks about a lost son. And in each context, he was driving home a point that when the individual lost something and found it, he said it is like then when Jesus saves a soul, and a sinner repents from their sin, that there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents. And we find here in verse number 3 that he begins to share a story about a shepherd. We find in verse number 4 that he talks about a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and yet one was lost. And we find in the context that this shepherd is going to care for these sheep. And if you would, in it, I think what we see is a picture of Jesus being a friend to sinners. And as Jesus is a friend of sinners, we notice that, first of all, he loves you. That's easy to say, but sometimes hard for people to really comprehend, that the God of the universe would love me. And yet he does. For we find in the context that the shepherd has at least 100 sheep, and he is caring for them. And we find that in John chapter 10, Jesus likens himself to the good shepherd, where he says, "I am the good shepherd." And in that context, if we were to turn there, which we're not, you would find in John chapter 10 that Jesus Christ, as a good shepherd, his care was daily seen for those sheep. For instance, in John 10:9, he says that those sheep are able to go in and out and find pasture. He made sure that as a good shepherd, that those sheep would be taken care of, that their needs would be met on a daily basis. Then we find also that the Lord loved his sheep so much that it is seen in his personal attention for them. For in John chapter 10 and verse number 14, he says, "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine." Truly, shepherds will name their sheep. I don't know what they name them. Obviously, one of them named them Bo Peep, right? And but nonetheless, I don't know what they name them, but a little bit of study I've done, that shepherds actually will name their sheep. And so it's a personal attention that they give to their animals, if you would. But then I think about this, that his love is seen in his sacrifice. For Jesus again said in John 10:11 that the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, notice this morning this, that Jesus, who is a friend of sinners, loves you. You may not think that people in life really love you or care about you, but may I say that Jesus Christ loves you. He gave his very life for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He does love you. But Jesus, as a friend of sinners, not only loves you, but Jesus, as a friend for sinners, goes looking for you. Just as the shepherd in this chapter here that we are studying this morning, he finds that one of his sheep is lost, and so what does he do? He goes after that one which is lost until he finds that particular lost sheep. We will use the terminology, and I'm speaking to our church family at this point. I know I'm speaking to everyone here, but to our church family, we will use often a word. We will talk about people being unsaved. But do you know that the true Bible word is not unsaved, but the true Bible word is the word lost? What does it mean to be lost? You ever been lost? I know if you are driving with your wife on a trip somewhere, the last thing you're going to admit to her, right, men, is that you are lost. I know it, because I've been there. I've done that. But the last thing I'm going to tell Teresa is that we are lost. And I just tell her, enjoy the scenery. We're on a trip. But have you ever truly been lost? Well, there's this matter of physically being lost, but there's also the matter of spiritually being lost. What does it mean to be lost? Well, it means to be marred by sin. For the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It means to perish. For the Bible says in John 3:16 that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Every day that people live without Christ, they are lost, they are perishing. It also means not able to find the right way. Do you remember the first time you ever went through a corn maze? I remember it. We took a group of teenagers a few years ago over here to Corunna, and we went through a corn maze. And now, we didn't get lost, but I do remember what the owner said. He said, if you do get lost out here, look where this light is right here. It's in the center. It's in the front here where you are entering in. There is a bright light there. And if you get lost, just follow the light out. Now, I never had to do that, but I've known some people that got lost in that corn maze. And they can't find the right way out. I thought to myself, if I ever got lost in the corn maze, I would do exactly what that guy said. I would just look at the light and plow my own path. You know, just make my own path during that corn maze. But a lost person is described that way. He's not able to find the right way. People try various things in life to find satisfaction, to find joy, to find happiness. And they just keep coming to one dead end after another dead end. And we find that's what the word lost means, not able to find the right way. It also means to be spiritually blind to the things of God. Stay with me for a moment. You and I right now in this building cannot see God. But does he exist, yes or no? Yes. We can't see Jesus, but does he exist? Yes, he lives within us when we know him as our Savior. But there's also someone else that is active today. He is called the little god of this world, G-O-D, and the Bible describes him as the devil, Satan. And one of the activities of the devil is to keep you as lost as he can keep you. He will deceive you. He will try to trick you. He will use different ways to keep you going down the right path that would lead to the Lord. And he wants to keep you spiritually blind to the things of God. You read about that in 2 Corinthians. That he blinds the minds, he blinds the eyes of those that believe not, lest they see the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he doesn't want you to come to Jesus. He wants you to keep leaning on your own rationale that says, I'm good enough, I'm all right, I don't need the Lord. But may I say, everybody needs the Lord Jesus as Savior. But Satan wants to continue to blind people to the truth. So this morning, all of those phrases describe you if you are lost, if you are without Christ, if you are without God. Years ago, and I'm talking quite a few years ago, Charles IX, involved in the Bartholomew Massacre, was rebelled against by his own soldiers. He was stabbed several times in the chest, and he lay in his own palace in a pool of blood. And historical records say that his last words there, lying in his own blood, were this: I'm lost! I'm lost! And may I say that today, how many times will those words be screamed out by those who are on the way to hell without Christ? I'm lost! I'm lost! I'm lost. Now there's good news. In this passage we find that Jesus, the friend of sinners, what does he do? Because he doesn't want you to remain in your lost state. He doesn't want you to remain in your lost condition. What does he do? He comes seeking after you. I remember years ago there was this slogan throughout our country entitled, I found it. It was about the gist of it was that we found Jesus. Hold it. I was lost. I didn't know where to go. He found me. He saved me by his grace. And we find in this context that the good shepherd, the friend of sinners, he goes after, he goes seeking and saving that which is lost. Amen. And we find in this context of Scripture that he is looking for you right now. If you're here today without Christ, he's looking for you right this very moment. He's willing to save. You say, what's preventing him from doing it? Why doesn't he save me? Oh, he will, if you will call. If you will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He's a friend of sinners, and he comes searching. He comes seeking after you. I'm so glad he did. But I want you to notice something else in the text. We find that not only is a friend of sinners and he loves you and he's looking for you, but we see also that he is willing to lift you up in your time of fear. For we find in verse number 5 that this shepherd truly goes out and he finds that lost sheep, and what does he do? He picks up that sheep and he lays it upon his shoulder. And he carries it back to town, and he says, hey, let's have a party. This little sheep that I was concerned about, I found him, and let's have a party, and let's rejoice. And that's what they did. And we find in the context that he came to where that lost sheep was. Oh, hey, we're in the Christmas season. Think about this. God had a time in which Jesus would come into this world, right? It was an appointed time. He left heaven's glory to come into this sin-cursed world. He left all of that splendor to come into this world. Again, to seek and to save that which was lost, but he left heaven. He came down to where we are. We could not go up to where he is, but he came down to where we are. That's all part of that seeking and searching for us, and he came down to where we are. And when he finds us, here's how he finds us. Sometimes he will come to where we are in a hurting relationship. Sometimes he will come to us when the debts are high, the bills are overdue, and the money is low. Sometimes he will come to us when our health is not what it should not be. Our health is definitely declining, and yet he comes to where we are. We're hurting. We're full of fear. And we find in this context that Jesus, the good shepherd, the Jesus, the friend of sinners, cares for us in the time of our fear. For the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The Lord is a compassionate friend. That is, he bears our hurt in his heart. He cares for you. He cares for you in sunshine or shadow. He cares for you. This is a great friend to have. Jesus, the friend of sinners. He cares for you in your time of confusion. He cares for you in your time of hurt. And I love this statement, not original with me, but I put it out on Facebook this week, and I also want to share it with you right now, that God never loses the individual in the crowd. Here we have about 50, 60 people here this morning, and may I say that God, looking down from heaven, sees you. He sees you. You are never lost in a world of over 7 billion plus people on planet Earth. God doesn't lose the individual in the crowd. He cares for you. He cares for you in your time of fear, and he carries those burdens that you have. He will lift them up if you would, and he will put them on his shoulders that are broad enough to carry them, and he cares for you. He lifted that up, that a sheep that was lost. The Bible doesn't record here. Jesus doesn't say anything about that lost sheep. Did it have a broken leg? I don't know. Or was it, so to speak, just off in the thicket, just a little nervous, scared, skittish? I don't know. But whatever that shepherd did, he went over to that sheep and he calmed it down. He picked it up and put it on his shoulders, put it near him to care for him. And that's exactly what Jesus does. Because you see, listen carefully. There's not a one of us in this congregation this morning that can get ourselves to heaven on our own. Not a one of us. We cannot save ourselves. I meet a lot of well-meaning people in life who will tell me this statement: I'm doing the best that I can. That's the way I'm trying to get to heaven. I'm doing the best that I can. I'm not bad as somebody in jail. I'm not bad as the dope pusher. I'm not bad as the alcoholic. I'm not as bad as them. But reality is, all have sinned. And Jesus today comes seeking for you. And you can't get to heaven on your own. But the Bible says, I am the way, Jesus said, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And Jesus can be your friend of sinners today. Have you trusted him? Have you turned to him? Have you put your faith, your trust, your all in him? Some of you this morning can say amen to that. But some of you this morning are not certain that if you died right now where you are, if you just keeled over in that chair. And that happened to me in my second church. Had a man just at the end of the service just keel over and die. I mean, it was a scary moment. You're not expecting to come to church to die, right? But he did. It was his time. But if that happened to you right now, would you be in the presence of the Lord? If you say no to that, then today, believe on Jesus. Today, recognize that you are a sinner. So am I. I've sinned. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Today, say, I need Jesus as my Savior. I believe that he died. I believe that he rose again. And I pin my faith, my hope, or my all in him today. And believe me, you will have not only a Savior, but you will have a friend that will stick by your side when everybody else is walking out of your life. He walks in and he remains. That's Jesus, the true friend of sinners. There was an old preacher that was riding on a train, true story. And he looked across the aisle and he saw a young man. And the preacher, knowing the ways of people over his years of counseling and so forth, he could see that the young man was in trouble. He was just fidgety and nervous. So he went over and he sat by him and said, "Son, I'm a minister of the gospel. And I don't want to pry, but do you have a problem? Perhaps I can help." To which the young man said, "Yes, sir, I do have a problem. Let me tell you about it." He said, "Many years ago, I had a fight with my parents. My parents are good and decent people. I was wicked and ungrateful, and I left home and slammed the door behind me and looked back and said, I will never come back to this house again." He says, "I've lived apart from my loving parents. I've received word that now my dad is sick. And I thought how hurtful and hateful and sinful I've been." Jesus is a friend of sinners. You can come home today. Jesus is a friend of sinners. You can come home today. Jesus is a friend of sinners. You can come home today. Jesus is a friend of sinners. You can come home today. Jesus is a friend of sinners. You can come home today. Jesus is a friend of sinners to us. You can come home today. Jesus is a friend of sinners to us. You can come home today. Jesus is a friend of sinners to us. You can come home today. Jesus is a friend of sinners to us. You can come home today. Jesus is a friend of sinners to us. As come home today. Jesus is a friend of sinners to us as come home today. Jesus is a friend of sinners to us as believe home today. Jesus is a friend of sinners to us as believer today. Jesus is a friend of sinners to us as believer today. Jesus is a friend of sinners to us as believers today. Jesus is a friend of sinners to us as believers. Jesus is a friend of sinners to us as believers. Jesus is a friend of sinners to us as believers. Jesus is a friend of sinners to us as believers. Jesus is a friend of sinners to us as believers. Jesus is a friend of sinners to us as believers. Jesus is a friend of sinners to us as believers. It may be lately you've been drifting in your relationship. He's saying to you, come home. Come home. All you who are weary, come home. Jesus, a friend of sinners. Every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, I want to ask you, would you today ask Jesus to save you? Would you today ask him to come into your life and become your Savior? He died for you. He rose again. And he wants to come into your life. He knows about your hurt. He knows about all the difficulties you're going through in your life. And he's come seeking for you. Today, you are not here on accident. You're here on purpose. And I know that many of you in this congregation already know Christ as Savior. Praise God for that. But for those that do not, listen carefully. If you would like to receive Christ as your Savior, then right where you are, from a heart of sincerity, would you pray this prayer? Dear God, I know that you love me. And I know that you want to save me, Jesus. Jesus, you died to save me and you promised to save me if I would trust you. I do trust you with all of my heart like a little child. Forgive my sin. My sin deserves judgment, but I don't want to die and be eternally separated from you. I need your mercy. I believe on you, Jesus. Forgive my sin, cleanse me, save me right now. If you just prayed that and asked the Lord to save you, would you also say this? Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Help me now to not be ashamed of you. I wonder this morning if there'd be someone here who'd say, Pastor, I did just ask Jesus to save me. Sitting right here in this chair, I just asked the Lord to save me. If that's you, with heads bowed, eyes closed, only one looking, would you raise your hand, rub your head, say yes. I just asked the Lord to save me and come into my life. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Someone else this morning. Anyone else while we wait? Yes, God bless you. Put your hand down. Anybody else while we wait? Anybody else? How many would say, Pastor, I'm thinking about it. I didn't do it right now, right then, but I'm definitely thinking about it. I'm definitely realizing that this is a need in my life. And I would that you remember me in prayer that I will make that decision soon. If that's you, would you raise your hand right where you're at? Anybody at all while we wait? Anybody at all? I wonder this morning there'd be those here as believers, Christians who would say, Pastor, in my life, I've begun to wander in my relationship with the Lord. Oh, I know I'm saved, no problem there. But in my fellowship with the Lord, I begin to wander away from Him, and today I need to come home. That's my need. Would you raise your hand right where you're at? So yes, Pastor, that's right where I am. Sometimes it can be just stop reading your Bible. Just stop praying. Just things like that, where you just begin to drift from those things. Say, Pastor, that's my need in my life. I begin to drift. I need to come back. I need to come home today. Anybody at all while we wait? Just lift your hand up. Put it right back down. Yes, God bless you. Somebody else while we wait. Somebody else. In just a moment, we'll stand together. Our pianist will begin to play through an old familiar hymn. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. Now listen, you're amongst people that care about you. We're not here to embarrass you. But today, if you've asked Jesus to save you, we want to help you. Won't you step out, meet me at the front, and we'll put some material in your hand that will help you grow in that relationship with the Lord. Won't you come? Today, as a believer in your life, you need to step out and you say, hey, I've been straying. I've been following or straying from my relationship with the Lord. Won't you take this time as well to get that matter settled in your life and stay as close to the Lord as you can. He says, come home. So come home today. Father, how I praise you for these individuals that have asked Jesus to save them. I just want to shout glory. Give you the praise, give you the honor. Because you are the one that changes lives. This is what it's all about. And how I'd pray this morning that as they leave, that they will appreciate more and more each day for that decision that they've made right here at Calvary Baptist Church on December 13th, 2020, to ask you to save them. Oh, how I praise you for that. Help them to grow in their understanding. For these that have wandered in their relationship, help them also today to come back into sweet fellowship with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.